Morning, bro.
I thought I wasn't on children's church today. I thought that's what Lady M said.
About this, and I think they want to just encourage the people how important it is for each and every one of us to be free in order to do what God called us to do. Amen. How many want to fulfill your destiny? It's important. That's important. If you want to fulfill your destiny, because there are a lot of things. When we come, we came to church and we came zealous and had a lot of energy. You know, I was thinking back today that 38 years ago, giving my life to the Lord, and really how excited I was about the kingdom. And I want to talk to us this morning about being renewed and how important it is for the body of Christ and for the people of God to be renewed, not only in your mind, but in your spirit and in your heart. Because if we listen to our minds and listen to the news and what's going on in our world, we'll be disheartened. Even if we look back over our lives, you know, I tell people all the time, I can tell myself my age is because I was in the days of cassette tapes and the VHS tapes, the big ones. And even I remember when Beta, Sony came out with the Beta tapes, and there was a big competition between VHS and the Beta, and but nevertheless, those tools were all created for storage, to store things on. And the same thing was with our minds. And sometimes, you know, our minds will play and play back things and places of where we've been and what we've done, and we'll start to think of ourselves as unworthy, incapable. Of doing what God has called us to do. And I think many people are back by this today. And I want to talk to you in the church because today I want you to get free. I want you to get free because the freedom is not in you, but in Christ Jesus, who you've accepted. So if you get to that place, accept Christ Jesus and what he has done, at Calvary, what he has done in your life, our lives, amen? Because people are bound with so many different things that will keep them from becoming who God has called them to be. You know, and we put these boundaries around ourselves, and we no longer, I watched one of the TV shows, and I don't know, one of the FBI stories, and there's one guy who couldn't, he was a genius with computers, but he couldn't leave out the house because of a phobia outside. Just, you know, that's all in his mind. And he was bound by that. Yet, too many of us, God wants us to be free. And so I want to take the scripture. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, familiar passage of scripture. Y'all all heard it. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, he says, in Romans chapter 1, I'm sorry, 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, I be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, somebody say prove, that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's, in getting a renewed mind, it gives you the ability to prove the word of God in areas that is acceptable and good, but is the perfect will of God for your life. How many know God has a will for your life? Amen. And so here in verse 3 is where I'm going to take my text today. He said, by Saul, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt every man a measure of faith. Somebody say a measure of faith. I got to talk to you this morning because in this area of why you need a renewed mind and why it's so important, is that each of us have been granted a measure of faith. Why? Why a measure of faith? Why don't all of us have this extraordinary faith? Because all of us are not called to do the same thing. Not one person in this room has the same fingerprint. I love it. 8.2 billion people on the earth, and not one of them have the same fingerprint. Identical twins don't have the same fingerprint. Some of us know that. Although they look alike, there are things that are created by God that are not alike. Amen? And so, when we see this, all of us have been given a measure of faith. And I want to tell you, the reason why we have been battling in our minds with the struggle is because God does not want you to understand who you are and whose you are. And the way he can do that is in the mental realm to keep you from becoming who you're supposed to be. And so follow me here, because in our minds, we want to be and do what God's called us to do. But if we don't take hold of it and take control of it, it will control us. This is a serious thing, because I'm paying more attention to this area because I'm watching what's going on in our world, what's happening to people, and I'm paying attention to the enemy. One of the things is how he's getting through and how he's getting to some people. And one of the areas is in our mental realm. And so Christians are not called to conform to any longer to the pattern of the world, which is with his behavior and custom that usually selfish and often corrupting. This is important because many Christians wisely decide much worldly behavior is off limits to them. Our refusal to conform to the world's values, however, must even go deeper than the love of behavior and custom, which is what's going on right now. There's a lot of people know exactly how to act. They know exactly how to look. They know exactly what to say, right? But inside, they're just following a kind of a custom and a pattern, but it's deeper than that, because it has to do with what you believe and where your faith is and what faith is in. And so if your faith is in God and in Jesus Christ, you'll get to understand. But more than that, you'll be led by your spirit and not your flesh. And when you're led by your spirit, you have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can guide you and lead you. Now, I love this because Jesus says, I got to go. He says, I got to leave here. And when I leave here, he says, that's going to give me the ability to give you another comforter. So he had something in mind for all of us. So as long as he was here, he was full of the Holy Ghost. But in order for him to release the Holy Ghost, he had to go back to be with the Father, and then he released the Holy Spirit to be with all of you, all of us. Everybody in this room has the ability and has a measure of faith and a measure of the Holy Spirit in you. You just got to get in tune with it to understand him and to hear him and to know what it is he's saying. And when you develop that, and the area that's got to come in, it's got to come in the mind. I got to tell you something. So the Holy Spirit and God, okay, anybody knows what he sounds like? Because it's not like the movie, you know,
Pastor Bruce, this is God.
No, it doesn't sound like that. He doesn't talk like that. He doesn't act like that. What it is your voice. But it's your voice because you hear it in your head, but you got to know the difference in when it's God and when it's not. So many people are struggling in the mind and in these areas to where they are. And then they get to a place where they no longer want to fulfill their destiny the way God has laid it out. And I tell you, so what happened is because our mind will start to alter things, and then it'll start telling you that you're not worthy, you're not capable, and this is going on, and that's going on. And so what happens is when you move out of the now, right? That's why I love the statement of faith in Hebrews. Now faith is. And so now is the only time that is real. Now is the only time that you can make a difference. You cannot make a difference in the past because you can't go back and live it. You cannot make a difference in the future because you're not there yet. Okay? I know we got the movies and things are talking about back to the future.
They just repurposed
and time traveling.
They just repurposed
them. But I don't believe one that's experienced. But what I do know is that the Holy Spirit can speak to me. He can give me wisdom and understanding, and even give me insight into the future based off of my now. Only my now is the affection part. And this is important because we need to understand that so we can't conform, we got to be transformed. So we need our refusal to conform to the world's values, however, must go even deeper than a level of just behavior. A custom must be firmly planted in our minds to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. It is possible to avoid most worldly customs and still be proud, covetous, selfish, stubborn, arrogant. And only when the Holy Spirit renews and re-educates and redirects our mind will we truly be transformed. Somebody say transformed.
Transformed.
This is so important that we become transformed, that we become in this place where God wants us to be and do what it is God wants us to do. And I find this to be the area, and God has blessed me, you know, with the level of faith that I do have, but also it is the voice in which I speak. I have a talk about a lot in, because faith, I believe, is the most important thing and subject in the Bible. I know the most important gift is charity, love. Right?
That's too far.
But do you know, I can't have even love without faith in God. I can't do it in my essence, because, you know, I don't like everybody. I don't like everything. Right? But I can love that which God has sent to love. And I can follow that. So it's important about my faith. And so one of the things is that I reminded of, and I'm going to tell you a little story that I've been reading about. I'm going to tell you about the story that's affecting us and many of us could read today. And, you know, how many know that bad things happen to good people? Come on, can we be real? So everybody has to go through things. The difference is how we go through, what we allow to lead us and guide us and direct us. And so I want to encourage you to be led by God, be led by the Spirit, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, because that's what will get you past, will get you through to be who God's called you to be. Amen? You know, in 1984, there was a young man, and he came here to this country from Korea. He was 18 years old at the time, and he started, he was working at a gas station as a cleaner, and he couldn't speak any English. But he would learn to, as people were there, to come through the guest, and he asked them what business they were in. And he said most of the people told him they were in the garment business. And so he kept hearing that, and he kept seeing that. And so eventually, him and his wife had saved up $11,000. They had $11,000, and they went and bought a store. And they bought the store with that $11,000 investment. And they were Christians who came here. And many of y'all know the store. It was called Forever 21. And my children shop there, some of them, my girls would go there. And at the bottom of every bag, they had John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So my whole point is we can start out with a lot of good things, right? And doing a lot of good things. And then, if we're not careful, we can get caught into the world system, and our minds can transform us and pull things around us, and we start changing. And so I don't know about you, but if I looked at Forever 21 clothing and their style, I would say it represents John 3:16.
Receivers on stage.
Gotcha.
Don't be mad. I'm just telling you what my view, right? You know, if you shout there, I'm not getting on you. Okay, I'm just talking about the reality. But for Forever 21, the concept is what? It came with a good idea, because I got to tell you something. Everybody always down to where we are. Everybody wants to be 21 again. All of y'all that's past 21 know what I'm talking about. There was times in your mind you said, I wish I was 21 again. Okay? But the truth of the matter is you can't go back. And so this concept of forever 21 also generated the style and the thing. And so and it was fashionable. And then it was a what do you call it? I just lost my train of thought. Like trendy, when it's trendy. Okay, so it was a trendy type of clothing, and so, you know, skinny leg pants and all the stuff that I couldn't wear, right? It just didn't fit. My body is square and big. Okay, that skinny stuff don't work. It didn't work on me anyway. Right? But that Forever 21 represented as
they
took $11,000, and that year. They made $700,000.
Wow.
$700,000 the first year. And since 1984, you need to know something about it. Forever 21 was opening up stores all over the country. And they currently had about 400 stores. And with opening up stores, it also created a level of wealth and for them, and they became billionaires. And so this is why I want the church and the people of God to be careful, because sometimes we just think money will change everything for us and make everything right. Well, that's not necessarily true. And so it can change you and not necessarily for the better. And so it is a breaking point for everybody and everything, right? So there's a place where many of us have experienced a breaking point in our lives. And at that point, we feel unworthy. We feel, not able to do and accomplish what God has given us to do. And then at that point, we think that it's not possible to be done because of who I am or where I've been or what I've done. And so, and I share all of this because their life changed and they had a big effect on their children. You know, they were, sometimes we can look like Christians and we can sound like Christians and we can do all this. I want to help somebody in here. Because I don't want you to come here and play church. I want you to come here and be like the psalmist said, I'm free. I want you to be free and free indeed, but not free to be miserable or free to be misguided or misleading or hypocritical. So I want you to be free because you are free in Christ Jesus, which means I'm a work in progress. So I can be free to know that I'm a work in progress. But I'm following the leading and the teachings of the Lord to get there. Because you can make up your own stuff, which they are now calling the inspired theology. Oh, you're not hearing me. So you can be inspired by some stuff you know or do, and then you make it your theology. But there's one gospel. There's one kingdom. There's one Lord. And there's one Holy Spirit. And I want us, the church, to be renewed, to get back to that. When I'm saying get back to it, not going back, but going forward with Christ Jesus. So Forever 21, again, has opened up over 400 stores and multi-billion-dollar operation. And their kids are writing, and their kids are writing against them today, saying they didn't go on vacation. They did mission trips. They went to places to do missions and all these things. Only to now be accused of having sweatshops and labor, misguided labor in some of their stores and their outfits and clothing line. But more than that, 400 stores are closing in the United States. So there was a breaking point that caused what looked so good and looked like to come to a place of closing. But I don't want you to get, don't misconstrue this story.
No.
Because I'm not
finished. It's too far. It's too far.
Okay? There's a breaking point for everything and everybody. And so knowing that, they got to a place now that all those stores are closing. They're shutting down. So all those people, and the first thing people said, well, you know, oh, look at all the people they're affecting and the jobs that they're going to lose. And then at the end of the day, you know, as
all
Christians, I believe that their prayer, I hope, is that these are God's people. and for government, and that God will deal with them. But their point, I'm hoping that they don't give up and walk away from what they were called to do. And so often, you can get all of this money, and you can start, if you're not paying attention, it can lead you into a place of very dangerous, of greed. And in a place of greed, you can walk away from being who God called you to be and doing what you were called to do. Hello, somebody. So just sharing, paying attention to these facts are important, right? And the reason I said that is because this story, Satan wants to crush us. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Satan would like to diminish you.
Would you change the channel? But you always want to keep your receivers close to the mic.
Wheat has substance, change the not. Okay? He would like to reduce us, and so he understands he cannot be God. And if he understands that, he is well aware that he can't
be God.
He understood that if God defeated death, there was nothing left to do or to come against God. So now, and then God created us, right? He said, I created them in my image. So he gave us his imagery in terms of what he wanted us to be. And he gave us a measure of faith in each and every one of us to accomplish together, corporately, we all know in part, corporately, we can be the body of Christ, the kingdom that we talk about. See, this body, my body is just not made up of a hand. The hand has a specific part to play. Oh, y'all gonna get this in a minute. So the hand and the feet have a particular part to play, right? My legs have a particular part to play as I stand on them, but my feet allow me to walk and then to move, right? And my hands allow me to pick up things, right? And then I got a heart that's beating on the inside of me, that's pumping blood through my veins. And all of this is happening, right? But it's all controlled out of one place. The mind talks to the body. To give it the ability to do what it does. So I'm not surprised that the enemy, who knows he can't defeat God, has made a decision to defeat the people that he made in his image. And he's going to do that by playing in their mind. So God gives us a word to talk about having a renewed, transformed mind. I love this. Y'all know I love the story of the caterpillar and the butterfly. The caterpillar looks nothing like the butterfly, yet he becomes it. I say that about all of you. What can we become with a transformed mind? Who can we be with a transformed mind? And I get there and I share the story because I share that God wants to sift you as we, right? It's a very similar situation that we see in the Bible, right? With Peter. Peter is a great man of God. Peter has a great mission with God. Peter is called to do a great work. In fact, Peter has faith that others did not. Peter was called, he called the Lord and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Now, Lord said, come. Peter stepped out of what he received it. By the way, he did not tell, he said, Peter, come. Y'all missed it. He did not just say, Peter, come. He said, come. So I got to tell you something. The other 11 who were in the boat, if they would have stepped out of the boat, would have been able to do exactly the same thing because he had no name on it. But Peter said, Lord. And then Peter, as long as his eyes was on the Lord, he walked on the water. The moment he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the storm, he started to sink. Now we beat him up because we said, oh, Peter, your lack of faith, right? But Peter says, he said, Lord, he turns back to him and focuses in and says, save me. And the Lord reaches out. Meanwhile, the storm is still raging. But the Lord and Peter walk back to the boat together. That was important because I want y'all to know that the storm did not have power over God. God is in the boat and then speaks to the storm and tells it to cease. So I want to tell you something. If God said something and he called something and he said, I'll meet you on the other side, he meant it. If he's telling you to go somewhere and do something, the only thing that can stop you from getting to where you need to be is you. That's why I'm dealing with this morning. Because many people have been stopped in their track. They have a breaking point. They have a point that they can no longer go where they feel like they can't because they're listening to their mind. Is this me? I did that. He can't use me. He won't use me. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm not telling you to stay there, nor am I condoning anything, whatever. What I'm saying to you is, everybody has, according to Scripture, everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hello? Can we be real in here? I'm trying to help people because if you don't get this, you'll think that you're damaged goods. You will think that you're damaged goods. And I'm going to tell you, anything that God called and is calling isn't damaged because it's going to a place of perfection. He's working on it. I need to help somebody today because they got to get up from out of the pity party or out of the sheet and says, I can't do this thing. We've had a lot of tragedy and things happen in our life. We've had a lot of failures and things. We've had all kinds of stuff from sickness and disease and financial failure and divorce. And they are none of them are of God. But they happen. But they happen. I'm trying to tell you something. You are greater than your circumstance and your situation. You are greater than what has occurred in your life. But if you don't see it, you won't know it, and you will start to follow what has happened. And you'll start to believe what was said. Oh, what a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Because the body of Christ is suffering because of this mental, this place that God addressed. And he said, by the renewing of your mind. And he said, and then we missed this part. I never, ever talked about the measure of faith. I want to tell you, it's the measure of faith that you have that will get you out of where you are. Don't not hear me. You're going to need to call on, pull on, use the measure of faith that was granted you. The measure of faith that I'm talking about doesn't belong to anybody else. It was specifically designed for you. So, you know, one season, Pastor Bruce, there was all these people, and the church was in the season, and they was going around and prophesying, and they wanted Paul's anointing. They wanted David's anointing, and they wanted all of the patriarchs, the matriarchs, the patriarchs of the past. They wanted their anointing, right? Let me share something with you. I do not want David's anointing, although David was a great man. Because I got to tell you something. David's anointing was for David in that time. It won't work in this time. I didn't say the word won't work. I said the anointing that was on his life was for that season. Each of you have been granted a measure of faith. And within that measure of faith, the deeper you develop your relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, the greater the anointing that will be on your life to get you to where you need to be. And help you here in this place. Where am I going with this? So listen, listen. Go in the scriptures. Listen. This passage. So in the scriptures, he said, he wants to destroy you. It would be renewed if so that you will fill your debt. So you he wanted to destroy you and destroy your mind so that you will not fulfill your destiny. And I want to show you in the scriptures how he did this to one of the great leaders of our time. He did it for a season. And so you can come out, you can have all this energy. And so here, go to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Listen to this. And I read out of this Bible, I know I have it. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to shift you to sift you as we. But I, somebody say, but I, Dad, have prayed for you. Simon, that your faith may not fail. What did he pray? That his faith would not fail. He did not pray it wouldn't happen. He did not pray to give him strength. He didn't pray to give him more money. He didn't pray. He prayed that his faith would not fail. Now I'm going to tell you something. According to Scripture, the Bible tells me that God is at the right hand of the Father. And him being at the right hand of the Father, he's got direct access to God. And having direct access to God, he has the ability to pray for me. And if he makes the statement that he's praying for you, because so I believe
22.
That Jesus called me to do something. I believe that God is praying for me. My struggle and my challenge in my mind. Because I got one to keep going. And I have to just bring it into subjection. And bring it into the now. And stop allowing it to see mine. Keep going. It wants to take me in the next week, next year. It takes me all these places. I guess I'm the only one. He said, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. I want to let you know that I believe Satan has asked. He asked it for Peter. I know he's asked it for you. And so I need to encourage you this morning because so he asked God, which God, by the way, God is not the one that causes problems and that there's nothing bad in God. He can't do it, right? But he allows it. And I know this is the part where most people say, God, you're God, but he allows it because he also knows what he put in you. And he gave you, he said, I created you in my image. And then he goes on to say, I've given all of you a measure of faith. Your faith is what's necessary as your tool or your sword to fight against the word of God. I mean, not to fight against the word of God, to fight with the word of God. To fight the enemy. So he's given each of us that part. But if we don't use it, the enemy starts gaining access and territory in our lives. So he tells Peter this. Now I got to tell you, this is the same Peter who said, Lord, I'm ready to, you know, at the Last Supper, who can we come against you? Who is it? I'm going to kill him. And then y'all remember in the garden, they came to arrest him, and he cut the soldier's ear off. He pulled his sword out. He was ready to fight. It's the same Peter that said, Lord, I'm ready to die with you. If there's God, I've got the victory. So I'm saying, how many of us been at this place where we talk about what we wanted to do and what we were going to do for God? Oh, I know I got to, because I did it. And I'm saying, and I'm, guess what? I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I'm talking to myself. If you don't get it, I'm not letting no devil in hell stop me from doing what God has called me to do. But have I thought about it? Has my mind been playing me? How can I be real with y'all? And I got to see, well, God said it. It has to be true. And then I've just got to do it. And stop trying to project what's going to happen or when's going to happen. Because if you look at your life, nothing in your life even adds up. Nothing in my life adds up. To tell the truth, you know that it don't add up in your life. You don't know how you got out of that last jam that you was in. And then the truth of the matter is, you said, but you trusted God, and you know what? And he got you out. And some of us said, you know what, God, I won't do it again. And you was back the next day. I guess I'm meddling now, right? But my point is saying that. So guess what? You're not worried about it, and you won't be able to do it. So I got to tell you, this is the same Peter that said, "I will die with God." And he said, "So the Lord tells him that I'm gonna get to the next verse." But this is the guy that was willing to fight and willing to die for God, and he was strong. He was one of the first disciples. He was one of the guys that stood strong. He did great things. And he wanted to do this with, listen, So verse 30, he said, listen, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brother. In other words, Peter, he gave, that was a commission. Peter, I'm going to need you to stand and be able to strengthen your brother. Okay, I know that's a part of my job and who I am is to be strengthening the people of God. So there's a greater pressure on my life to walk upright and to walk worthy of the things that God has called me to, because it's not only my life, but it's the life of others. So I tell people all the time, if they get attacked, you can just multiply mine, because the enemy already knows. He likes ShopRite. He wants a can deal. If I get him, I get a bunch of people. So I want to call you leaders, families, mothers, fathers. Okay, it's important for you to walk in who God's called you to be, because there's somebody, it's your children that are right underneath, that are looking at you. And they're trying to figure this out. And say, so, and I need to let my children know. I tell them, listen, just because I'm serving God doesn't mean I don't want to deal with things the way people deal with things. It does not give me majestic and just magical riding. Because I said, but it's how I handle it. So I'm able to talk to them now. And I'm able to communicate with them about what God is doing, because they misinterpret it. You know, one of my daughters said to me, she said, Dad, you know, people used you. I said, nobody's ever used me, sweetheart. She said, well, where are they now? When you know, if you needed something, or that vice versa, you know, because I shared my food, I shared my house, I've done all of that, right? Yeah. She said, well, where are they now? I said, I don't know, but I did what I did out of my heart. I never did it because I needed them. I was expecting something from them. And I said, I got to tell you something. And so, but with that, I want to point out to you. So with that, that view was that I was taking advantage of. So her perspective is, oh, I don't want that. Right? But I said, oh, no, let me tell you, honey, I did everything out of my heart. And I said, I did it for the right reason. I said, did you notice we've never missed a meal? Did you notice all of you were able to get a car when you turned 18? Just little things like that. Whatever that God blessed us with to be able to do. And so he said, I will be a blessing to be a blesser, right? But she didn't see that. And so I want to share with you why it's so important for leaders to walk upright. And by the way, those who God has entrusted the word, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, must be found faithful. It didn't say loyal, it didn't say loving, it didn't say kind, it said faithful. So I want to tell you why I'm on this thing about our faith. So it is our faithfulness that will get us to where we need. So watch Peter, I'm going to say everybody has a breaking point. Everybody. Peter was the one that would do whatever for the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm ready to die. In the garden, they were surrounded by guards, and he cut the guy's ear off. Jesus quickly picked his ear up, put it back on before the other ones even saw it. Now, I got to tell you something. The guy that got his ear cut off knew what just happened. Now, I got to tell you, he had to struggle the whole journey of taking Jesus in and watching them put chains on him and beat him and do all the things they did, because he knew what just was done for him. But he ain't saying nothing. Oh, there's some people that know what was done for them, but they ain't saying nothing. I want to help somebody here, so you gotta be careful. So watch this. So look. So here we go. So verse 32. He said, but I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brother. Verse 33. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus answered and said, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. I'm talking about the man of God that was ready to die with God. At least he said, but the Lord showed him that Peter, before the crop, cock crows today, you are going to deny me three times. Not once. Not twice. But three times. Now I believe three is the number of divine. So three times Peter denies the Lord. He denies him for who he is. Okay? Which means at this point, something happened to the same guy, and this was hours later. This was hours later that he denied Christ. Oh, I want to help somebody here because I don't know where your breaking point is. But in Peter's mind, it was safer for him to deny Christ than to stand with him. I want to help the church this morning because we're looking at this thing and our faith is being challenged because at this point, I have to say that Peter's faith was in denial at this point. This is the man that said he would die for him. This is the man that said, I'm ready to fight. And hours later, he acts like he don't even know him. He doesn't even want to risk the chance of being associated. I don't want to risk that people would know that I'm a child of God. This is the guy that says, how much I will do for you. Yet a few hours later, he denies him. I want to say, as many of us have walked, talked, came in, I remember those early days of my Christian walk. And then life happened. Got a little beat up. Things happen. But I've been through enough with Christ to understand today that my faith in him is what's got me through and got me out. I'm at a place in my life to understand that it's my belief in Jesus Christ that this too will pass. Oh, you're not hearing me. So I want to encourage somebody today because you didn't think you was worthy. So Peter is now walking around with a cloak over his head, he's creeping in the night. He wants to know what's going to happen to Jesus. And then when he sees Jesus, he sees them how they're treating him. He knows what's going to happen. And I got to tell you something. He wasn't even there at the cross. The very one that said he would be with him, he didn't even show up at the cross. See his Lord being crucified. I would have wanted to see just because I wanted to see, because remembering what he said to me. See, they all forgot about that. About 3 days. He said, In 3 days, I'm going to renew the temple. But they kept thinking about buildings. Because history talked about the temple, the building. But he wasn't talking about a building that was built with hands. That was built by man. He was talking about the temple that was created by God. And he said, in 3 days, this temple would rise again. Okay? Now I gotta tell you something, because y'all know that Mary Magdalene, she ran down to the tomb, and we're coming up on this Easter season, but I need y'all to know that God is greater than our circumstances, situation, and we need to understand why this is so important to us, because now Peter, who denied Christ, is now. And didn't even show up at Golgotha to see him crucified. But Jesus is now risen. And Mary is there and she sees the stone has been rolled away. And seeing that the stone has been rolled away, she's wondering why is that exist? But she was just going to go outside the stone, the tomb, and just give homage to the Lord. But she realizes the stone has been rolled away. And that's not normal. So she speaks of what's happened here, only to go in and come and see. And there's two angels standing there. And she sees the garments laying on the floor. And the angel said to her, "What's the matter?" And she said, "What have they done with my Lord?" And he said, the angel was like, "Hey, didn't y'all pay attention? He said he would rise in 3 days. He has risen. He's free. He's risen. He's free. But more than that, he says to Mary, this got me when I saw this. He said, Mary, go tell the others. He said, go tell them. Watch this. I want to get y'all here. He said, go tell them. And he says, I want to meet them in Galilee. But he didn't just say, just tell them. Y'all got to go to Mark chapter 16. So in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, it says, but go your way, tell the disciples and Peter. Y'all not hearing me? And Peter. I got to tell you something. God knows your name. Peter denied him 3 times. And yet, he said, go tell the other disciples and Peter. And the reason he tells them and Peter is because Peter is flaking right now, because Peter's mind is telling him he's not worthy. Peter's mind is saying he's not capable, and the Lord doesn't love you, and you can't accomplish what you need to do. How many of you are struggling with some things and something you may have done and some place you may have gone and you know that God didn't call you there, but that you did. And you're struggling now to fulfill your destiny, to go further in where God's calling you, because you don't think he's thinking of you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So in other words, he's with you even right now. The only thing that's holding you back is you, your mind. And so he gives us in the scripture, he says, be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to share with you, everybody has a breaking point. Everyone has missed the glory of God. There is no perfect person on the earth. And I use the current story with Forever 21, who were blessed people, and who now had a breaking point with all their stores are closing and shut down, and then they got to. I mean, if they're alive, they're still alive. They have breath in their body. They have an opportunity to serve God through, and they got it with a renewed mind. Peter now gets to a place, and he realizes. So she said, "The Lord said, go tell the other disciples and Peter." Which means he had Peter on his mind. He knew Peter had turned his back on him. He knew Peter had given up. He also knew that if he didn't call Peter up, Peter would not fulfill his destiny. Now I got to tell you something. Peter goes on to become one of the greatest apostles and disciples of all time. Peter goes on because this time he realizes the love of the Lord and the word is true. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even though I messed up. Now, I am not giving somebody a license to go mess up. I'm giving you a license to get up out of the mess. Did y'all hear what I just said? I am not giving you a license for the mess. I'm giving you a license to get up out of the mess because God has called you out. He wants you to know that his word is true. He wants you to know that his word is powerful. He wants you to know that he's got a destiny. He wants you to know that your fingerprint is your fingerprint because he gave it to you. He wants you to know that he created a DNA chain that's on the inside of you, that he wants you to fulfill your destiny. And here's what we've got to challenge. Our minds can do. And we've got to tell you this. I've got to help y'all, because I'm helping myself. We're creatures of habit. We don't like change, yet change is the only thing that's constant. Okay, 2 seconds ago don't exist anymore. It changes. It's going to keep changing. Right? Every day is a new day. Because it keeps changing. So, what am I saying? saying to you, he tells us in his word that the word is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. You need to understand that whatever he's called you to and how he's called you to it, the call hasn't changed. Let me say that again. Hold this on. The call hasn't changed. Yet, we live in a changed time. Okay? We don't dress like we dressed in the 60s, or the 70s, or the 80s. Some of that stuff is recycled back, but again, nevertheless, that's not how we do it. Right? Because it's changing. So, if things change and you don't recognize the change, you get stuck with where you've been because your mind tells you this is what we've always done and this is how we've done it. And so with that mentality, you will only get what you always had. I believe God is shifting, and I said it, I recognized it after COVID, that ministry was changing, life was changing, things were changing around us. I recognized it, but I'm not sure I responded fast enough. That's me judging me. I don't need you to judge me, I judge myself. And I need you to judge. He said, let every man judge themselves. I would encourage you to judge you. Where are you? But I want to tell you the change is occurring. It's happened. It's happened all around us. And so don't allow your mind to restrict you from going and getting where God wants you to be. Because you will start to say, you know, this is where I did it. This is what I need to keep doing. And if you keep doing that, it won't work. And I certainly want to encourage the body of Christ because I want to ask you a question. What are you effective in? Don't get mad at me. I'm asking you, the reason is because God has called us to be disciples of Christ, but he's also called us to be effective. And if you'll measure your effectiveness, and it doesn't have to be anything doesn't have to be like monetary or anything super. Like, I want to talk to, let me just deal with praise and worship. How effective I think it is. How it's changed my spirit and my heart. That's really the truth of the matter. Okay? I love to worship the Lord. I'm not a singer, but having worship opens the door and opens my heart to hear God. And it changes me. It moves me. So it's effective. That's a ministry. Because there was a day and a time. We had it and we didn't have it. And, you know, you have harvest, you have all of that. You know, it was horrible. But I'm just sharing something. So that's ministry. So your ministry might be just saying, hello, with people who smile. And somebody needed that today. Your ministry might be to care for a group of people or something. I don't know what it is. It could be, I just said, it doesn't have to be with a pulpit or a microphone. It may be teaching kids. And your gift is in your ability to teach, but show forth love. Because the kids need it for their growth. I remember a lady dealing with somebody, one of the teachers, the teacher said that these kids are bad. And she said that your description of bad, these kids are not bad. But the reason they're bad is they wanted to sit back and be on their phone, and they wanted the kids to just sit there and do nothing or no interaction and no play. And so the truth of the matter is, what 2-year-old or 1-year-old is go and do that. That a three-year-old, they need interaction. They need to be sit down. They need to be like, we in a baby room. You know, they're on the floor with the babies. Okay, we don't wear shoes in that room. They got the booties you put on, right? Because they're on the floor with the kid, and they start crawling around and interacting with them. Because that's important. That's the first stage. To start crawling and moving, right? That's a form of a ministry of love. Okay, and I tell so here I'm teaching all teachers here. You're not a teacher. You're a minister of education. You know your job is to that, and your congregation is just your students. It's been assigned to your classroom. But they want to go in. It's just like me. I don't get to pick and choose who God sends. My job is to minister to His people. There's some people that can work you and rub you a whole lot of ways. But my job is to minister and love them. You know, Sister Sandpaper, Brother Hammer, y'all know, I don't have a choice. I'm going to love them, I'm going to minister to them, and I'm going to give them the truth and the gospel. Somebody shout
hallelujah.
Because that's my job. That's what I do. And I just want to today remind you about not being conformed to the world way, but being transformed to the kingdom way. The kingdom way is not our way. It's different. It's much different. And I know God's been calling us to this. I want to talk to you about renewal. And so the title of today's message has been renewed. I need us to leave out here, and it's my hope and prayer that you'll have a renewed spirit. You'll have a renewed mind. You'll continue to work on that. And most of all, you'll want to fulfill your destiny. You'll want to fulfill the place where God has called you. And so I love it, and I need you to know God has not forgotten about you. His will is for you to fulfill your destiny. And the proof of the pudding, as he said, Mary, go tell the disciples and Peter. He specifically named him because he knew where he was at. He knew that had he not done that, I don't think we would have read any other things about Peter ever again after that. Because Peter was done. And in his mind had told him, this is it. You committed the ultimate sin. Dying. Right? The same Lord you said you would die with, you turned your back. And he wasn't even there. But the one he loved was there at the foot of the cross. He was there. John understood who Jesus was. I think if anybody died, John died. And Jesus told him he loved him. And John loved Jesus. And John got a special assignment. And John got things in the Word that none of the other apostles were disciples got. So I think that was pretty significant because of the role. But again, we all know in part. But if we do our part, we can now fulfill the kingdom. And that's what I want to encourage you this morning is leave out here today with a renewed mind, a renewed heart. With renewed faith in Jesus Christ. This is where I am. I'm speaking to those of you who are watching us. I pray that you'll get a renewed mindset. You'll get out and stop to the woe is me and get up and do what God's called you to do in spite of. And that's how we succeed in this battle, is by taking the tools that have been given to us from Christ. And utilizing them for the victories that are going to come at hand. So there will be days that it's raining outside. My advice to you is put your umbrella on. Your umbrella is your covering. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep you from getting soaked. Your feet might get wet. Your pants might get wet. But you won't. Don't let that distract you. Don't let it stop you. becoming the man and the woman God has called you to be. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. I hope this message bless somebody and help somebody that was looking at themselves or struggling with how to move forward in your work, in your ministry. Something that's happened to you, something that's happened around you. I want to encourage you that if God calls you, God doesn't make a mistake. We do, but He does. We see it all through the ages. You know, the people wanted a king. He gave one. Okay. He called Saul. He didn't make a mistake. He needed us to read and see it. And then he gave him a David. I love the story of David because David being the eighth son, the number eight is the beginning. David being a son that was not a part of, he wasn't, according to scripture, he was a bastard son. He wasn't part of Jesse's standing tall son. He was the one who was out of the field doing work. But that's exactly the one God wanted. Isn't that amazing? I want to say that to all of you. You're exactly who God wants. You're exactly who God wants. He didn't ask you to be somebody else. You know, I tell people all the time, I may be a pastor, but I wasn't raised in a monastery. Which means I got some experiences that I'm not necessarily proud of. Right, the things that happened in my life. But knowing the power of God to deliver me out, to get me to where I am today, how powerful is that? That's what I glorify. I glorify God's goodness and His work. And that's what I want for all of you. So, you know, don't let life that happens around us stop you from becoming who God's coming. Get a renewed mind. Transform mind. Become the butterfly and no longer become state of caterpillar. My favorite part about the caterpillar can only inch along on the ground. And it sees things from a very low level. But a butterfly can fly. It can go much further. Its beauty is much greater. And it can see things from a higher perspective. Somebody shall have eyes. This is what God desires for all of you. Let's give a one more round of applause. I'm done. Hallelujah. So today, we know we've got to continue to work on our minds. But our faith is what He's after. And I want to encourage you, gird up. Get your shield of faith and the sword, which is the Word, and be ready. If you don't fight for yourself, who will? Amen. Amen. I want to share with you this quickly, and I'm going to stop. Because I just talked about that fight. You know, and as a pastor, my job is to continue to minister to you and guide you. I remember there was someone that asked me to fight with them. And they were dear to me. And I took my shield of faith out. I took my sword. And this was happening. This happened in a dream. And I was fighting with them. And we were fighting the enemy. And we were back to back for a moment. We were fighting off the enemy. The enemy was great. But we survived. We would have survived. I thought we would have been victorious. Only for the other person to lay down their sword and their shield to walk right into the enemy's hand. And the part that bothered me and hurt me the most, because I ended up fighting my way out of there, is that you invited me into this fight with you, only to abandon it yourself. And I say to you, I'm here, we're here, to stand with you. But it only works if you want it. And it works when you fight and I can fight with you. leadership can fight. Your prayers can be supported. But you must do it. I can't do it for you. I wish I could. And it's not something we just wish upon. It's something faith without works is dead. You have to put effort in and work in. That's the reason he's attacking your mind. Because if you don't, you feel like I can't do it. In this case, he just laid down his shield and his sword. And I look back and say, and this person to this day still calls me and asks me to pray for them. And I had to ask myself, some days I would say to myself, why? Right? But I pray. But I also know that prayer works for those that will it. Your will has to be involved for the prayer to work. Because God is a gentleman. He will not go against your will. Put your faith in God. Put your trust in God. And move forward in who He's calling you to be. Amen? Amen. With that said, I'm going to end there because I'll keep going. That word, I mean, I can stay here for an hour and talk about it because I'm ministering to myself as well. And I hope, did this word help anybody? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right, well, we're going to get ready for our tithes and offering. Amen. We got a few announcements. Next week, we got April 4th and April 6th this week. You know, it's been 26 years in ministry. Man, I remember getting born again in the church in the firstborn. And coming down the aisle at the YMCA. And here it is 26 years later. And I'm like, look at God. You know, and I never saw myself in this position or this place. But God had a plan. God had a call. Greater than mine. And there's nothing greater, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing greater than fulfilling the destiny of what God wants to do in life. So here we are 26 years later, the church and I started at the same time. So this year, we're going to celebrate the church on Friday and have an event. And then on Sunday, we'll be celebrating 26 years of ministry for myself.
Just go off air.
So I just want all of you to invite you out.
It doesn't take that long.
Well, he's done, right? He's done preaching. Yeah, we just got to put it back on. I don't